Today is part three of our survey of what the Book of Proverbs teaches about handling conflict. If you missed the first two, just dial up the last couple episodes. Today's podcast is an important one. It's about how to win the person instead of the argument.
Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
Don't be wise in your own eyes. Listen more, talk less. Don't be argumentative. Don't react to insults. And then number six, be fair. Be fair. This is embedded in that word reasonableness. The word reasonableness carries the idea of justice. In fact, when it's used of kings and people in authority, that's what the word means, to be fair. When somebody disagrees with you, especially if they insult you or hurt you, someone hurts you, the natural response of the human heart is to start being unfair in your attitude and your thoughts towards that person. And the easiest place to illustrate that is in politics. Right? Don't we do this in politics? The guy I voted for, he does something that seems a little off, and I cut him all kinds of slack. He probably didn't mean that. He's got some reason for that. He probably knows something I don't know. I don't think, and I'm defending him. The guy I didn't vote for, he does something similar, and I'm just like, what a moron. I knew he was a horrible disaster. And I take it in the worst possible light. And when I tell you about it, I put it in terms that make it even a little worse, you know? And I assume bad motives, and I'm not being fair, right? I'm not being fair. Someone does something that hurts you, that you disagree with, and it just makes no sense to you at all. The natural conclusion that we form from there is, oh, he's an idiot. He's just an idiot. Or he's got this bad motive. He must be trying to do this, or he must be trying to do that. Never mind all the times that you did something that didn't make any sense to other people, right? And you wished at the time that they would just hear you out, or they would give you the benefit of the doubt, or assume the best instead of assuming the worst. You wished they would be fair with you in their thoughts, right? When other people act in strange ways, show them the same fairness that you wish they would show you when you behave in ways that seem strange to them. You give people a fair hearing or an unfair hearing based on your feelings, right? Don't we? I mean, with people that we really like, we're so fair with them. And people we don't like, we're so unfair with them. So when somebody contradicts you in your flesh, natural response is interpret everything they say now through an unfair filter. But a reasonable person will resist that. When we're commanded here, let your reasonableness be evident to all, part of that is don't do that natural thing that comes natural to everyone. Don't have that unfair filter. Proverbs 20:10, differing weights and differing measures, the Lord detests them both. God hates unfair weights. So when you weigh what the person is saying, don't put your thumb on the negative side of the scale. Don't be unfair. So the guy misspeaks a little bit and you repeat it like that's what he meant. That's what he really meant. That's unfair. He stumbles in his words a little, and you take the exact quotation that he stumbled and try to make it sound like it's something even worse than what he really meant. Not fair. You don't do that to people on your side. You shouldn't do it to anybody. When you get into an argument, I mentioned before, acknowledging the strengths of your opponent's point of view. Do you ever do that? Do you ever say, okay, I admit, what you just said there, that's a strong point. That's a valid point, I have to admit. A lot of people won't say that because they think they're conceding the whole argument. And you're not. You can say, well, I'm still not persuaded of your point of view, but I have to admit, that point you just made there, that's a really strong point. Do you ever do that? And do you ever acknowledge the weakness of your points? Like, I've got four reasons for believing this. Here's one. And this third one, I realize it's kind of weak. Do you admit that? Or do you just always try to defeat the other person's argument? That's something I'll tell you. I was so impressed when I got into graduate school and I sat under some real scholars. It was very different than the professors I had in my undergraduate schooling. In my undergraduate classes, they would make the strongest case they could for their point of view, and they made the opposing views seem just stupid. And so I was going to college, and they would go on about pre-trib rapture or something, and they'd make their strongest point. And then somebody would ask, well, what about, what do the post-trib people say about this verse? And they're like, who knows? I mean, they probably don't even believe this verse, And they just, by the time you're done, you're really persuaded. You're like, wow, I'm totally persuaded this point of view. People on the other side are morons. Then you run into somebody who believes that other point of view, and then it turns out they've got really strong arguments, and they're not morons. And they've got some really good reasons for believing that your professor didn't even mention or didn't know. When that started happening in my life, here's what happened. Not only did I question that point of view that they were teaching me, I started questioning everything those professors taught me. Because I thought they were teaching with too high a level of certainty for they weren't telling the truth about the strength of the other side. And so I had to rethink so many things in my life. Now, those scholars, the first thing I noticed about sitting under the scholars when they're the professor is they're just very, very, they're not one bit afraid of doing that. They just say, okay, here's my view. Here's my opponent, the opponent's view. Here's what's strong with their arguments. Here's what's strong with mine. Here's what's weak with theirs. Here's what's weak with mine. There it is, and they don't even seem to care if you, now that part isn't good. You should care if people believe the truth or not, but when they took that approach, when these scholars would take that approach, it was very, very persuasive to me. Because even if I could see 51% in their favor, I was totally on board with their view because I thought, I've seen the whole panorama. I've seen it. I've seen both sides. And now I can be confident that that there's not something else lurking out there that I haven't heard. So you actually become more persuasive, even though it feels like you're losing ground, if you admit you got a strong point there. I've got a weak point here. It feels like you're kind of losing ground. I was doing some marriage counseling once, and the guy actually told me, "I'll never do that. I'll never admit my wife has a good point in an argument because I lose traction then." And that's folly. That is just absolute folly. You don't lose traction. You gain traction because people will respect you if you acknowledge a good point. Because, and here's why, and this gets us to number seven. People are far more influenced by relationship than they are by argument. So, principle number seven is, strive to win the person, not the argument. Try to win the person, not the argument. Because people are more influenced by relationship than they are by argument. If you want to influence people, if you want to win people over, win their heart. The default in our hearts is to find ways to agree with those we have a good relationship with. That's kind of what we naturally do as human beings. If we have a really good relationship, we want to agree with them. And we just as naturally resist the ideas of people that we're at odds with relationally. And so we're looking for holes in their view. As soon as you set yourself against the person, or you put yourself above that person, they're going to naturally try to find ways to resist what you're saying. Proverbs 18:19, an offended brother is more unyielding than a fortified city. Once you offend them, forget it. You're not going to be able to get through to them. As soon as you hurt them, the gates close, the bars lock, and your defenses are up, and that weakens your position with them. But if they like you, they will. They'll try to find ways to agree with you. That's why you can't really win an argument. You can't win an argument. In an argument, you're in an argument, if you lose, then you lost. If you win, if you defeat the other person, then you've really lost because now you've won the debate and lost the person. Far better to win the person than the argument. When you have a disagreement, make that your goal. Try to win the person. Most people will come out of a heated debate more convinced of their position than ever. No matter how strong the other side's points were, most people come out of a heated debate more entrenched in their own position than ever. And most people, if you approach them with humility and relational generosity, they'll come out of a friendly discussion more open to consider the other side than ever. So when we're fair-minded, when we're reasonable, we listen, we take it to heart, that's going to get you so much more traction than just defeating them, because the person won't be defensive. But you just steamroll that person, Doesn't matter how strong your arguments are. So being reasonable gives you more influence, not less. However, even if it did weaken your position, I mean, even if you don't win them over to your view, and the person now thinks, they still think they're right and you're wrong, because you acknowledge the strength of their point, and now they're just latching onto that. Even if that happens, isn't it worth it? Isn't it worth it? If you lose the argument and gain the person's heart, isn't that almost always a net gain rather than a net loss? Think back to when you've won arguments that lost the person's respect. Some situation where you won the argument, but you lost respect. Has that ever turned out well? Friendship and the respect of others is far more valuable than being proved right or appearing clever. Somebody does who willingly does damage to a relationship just so he can win an argument. It's kind of like, I was trying to think of how to illustrate this. Kind of like somebody who, like a basketball player who just goes out every game and just starts tackling the other players and pinning them down and tackling the ref. And so he's always, his team always loses because of penalties. And so they come to him, his teammates come to him, he's like, why do you do that? Why do you keep tackling? And he's like, because I have to win. I have to win. And he thinks that winning means beating them up and pinning them down. And he doesn't realize that's not winning. It's losing. They're losing all the games. And so many people will do that with arguments, with disagreements. If you're willing to do damage to a relationship in order to win a debate, then you might be playing the wrong game. You're in a basketball game and you think you're in a wrestling match. It's not worth it to turn that person against you just so you can prove yourself right, nor is it worth turning God against you. The Bible says in James 4:6 and Deuteronomy 24 that God opposes the proud. Right? He opposes the proud. It means he fights against them. Can you imagine anything worse than fighting God? I mean, imagine the folly of a man who says, I'm doing this because I have to win. And what he's doing is causing God to fight against him. Newsflash. You do anything to provoke God to fight against you, the outcome is not going to be a win for you.
If you're at odds with someone right now, give some thought to ways you might be able to win that person's heart. And consider whether some of the things you've been saying or doing has done the opposite of that. And if you're not in a conflict right now, first of all, praise God for that. But also, see if you can think of ways you might use these principles in your daily life. In the typical ways you interact with your spouse, family members, coworkers, your boss, are there some ways you might become more winsome? Saying and doing things that draw people's heart toward you. Of course, you don't want to get carried away with that, so you become a people pleaser. And the techniques you use shouldn't be flattery, they should be edifying. And that's where we'll pick it up next time.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of Philippians. 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.